Some investors in Britain are not happy with News Corp donations.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us in the United States. British investors are protesting political donations in the United States by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Those investors object to payments that will help Republican candidates in the midterm elections. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
A British asset manager, F&C, is mounting the protest at the Murdoch Company's annual meeting tomorrow. F&C will vote against the chairman of the company's audit committee. The Brits are complaining about two of the company's political contributions, $1 million to the Republican Governors Association and $1 million to the US Chamber of Commerce, which is spending money to defeat Democratic candidates. The Brits say this is an inappropriate use of shareholders' money. Tom Powdrill of British Corporate Governance Group, PRC, agrees.
If directors want to make donations to political causes, they should do that with their own money, but we don't consider it a legitimate use of shareholders' funds.
In Britain, unlike in the US, listed companies are required by law to seek shareholder approval for direct political donations. Murdoch's company has defended the payment, saying, "We donate to groups with a pro-business agenda." In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There could be a deal in the works to buy internet search giant Yahoo, and News Corp could be involved. Several news wires are reporting some big private equity firms have approached News Corp and AOL to feel out whether either of those firms would be interested in a deal. Now, Yahoo's been struggling to make money in the shadow of its biggest competitor, Google. OPEC oil ministers meet today in Vienna to set production targets for the winter. The oil cartel controls 40% of the world's supply, and ministers know their commodity is vital to any economic recovery, so they're not expected to tinker with it much. But they will look closely at another idea, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The global price of oil is set in U.S. dollars. But when the dollar's value is low, as it is now, oil producers have to jack up their prices to earn the same profit. When the dollar fell dramatically 2 years ago, the spike in oil prices made more costly alternative fuels more competitive, says oil analyst Stephen Shork.
So not only was OPEC not receiving the full bang for its buck, but they were also seeing the potential for their market share erode.
So OPEC ministers are resurrecting an old idea, tying oil to a basket of currencies, including the euro, instead. Houston oil industry consultant Larry Carl says the dollar is losing its dominance.
When we look at the way the rest of the economies around the globe are recovering and we're falling behind, we have to start to get used to the fact that, you know, we're not going to lead right here, right now.
But if OPEC switched to this system, Carl says gasoline prices in the U.S. would be more susceptible to currency fluctuations overseas. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And the dollar fell to a 15-year low against the Japanese yen today. There's continued speculation the U.S. Federal Reserve will put more stimulus measures into place to spark the economy. That notion, while bad for the dollar, has global stocks on the rise. Yeah, Asian shares were higher today, 1% or more. European stocks are mixed at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, markets continued their upswing. The Dow tacked on 75 points to close at 11,096.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
President Obama is going to participate in a youth town hall meeting today on the MTV and BET cable networks. The president will take questions from audience members and viewers, all young people, of course. That's a demographic hit hard by the sour economy and doubtful anyone can help in Washington. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
President Obama last appeared on MTV in 2007 when he was still just Senator Obama.
Senator, our next question comes from a new website that we are partnering with that allows.
Things have changed a lot over the past 3 years. The theme for young people now isn't rock the vote, it's skip the vote. Some say it doesn't matter who's in charge in Washington. That's how 21-year-old Ethan Noer feels. He voted for Obama in 2008, but he won't head to the polls next month. He's had it with politicians.
They'd rather just get into a pissing match instead of actually trying to fix issues for the American people.
Issues like the unemployment rate for 16 to 24-year-olds, which is over 19%. Noer couldn't get a summer job this year. Now he's in his junior year at the University of Wisconsin. David Polk is a sociologist at York College. He has a lot of students like Noer.
It's almost shades of the 60s, where people tried the political process initially and then got disillusioned, found it did not work, and became a bit more radical. The difference I'm seeing is I don't see any kind of radicalization. It's almost apathy.
24-year-old Sarah Molnar isn't necessarily apathetic. She graduated last year from the University of Oregon. Now she's working as a receptionist. She hasn't lost total faith in government, but she's not asking politicians for much.
My roommate's on food stamps, and so that's the best way I feel like a politician would be able to help me out, is making sure that if I need to get on food stamps, that I'll be able to get on food stamps so I can eat.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a neighborhood in Singapore was in a frenzy yesterday after video of a bear, a big bear, going through a garbage can was sent into a social media site. The sender said the creature charged at their car and they had to drive off fast. A close shave, the witness said. Well, zoo officials and animal rights workers were sent out with tranquilizer guns, police too. Turns out it was all a sham. Electronics company Philips videotaped some guy in a bear suit to market their new electric shaver. Now, because of the frenzy the stunt caused, the company could be fined up to $750. That's way less than the price of one 30-second TV commercial. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us there. And, of course, you can grab the podcast while you're there as well, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Economic indicators are practically household words nowadays, right? We all know gross domestic product. But for some enterprising economists, they're just mainstream noise.
You know, kind of the Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga on the radio all the time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Alternative indexes on our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.